We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
Everyone deserves a chance in the driver's seat. For GM and Revolt, that means leading the way on the road to an all-electric future and envisioning a world with zero crashes, zero tailpipe emissions, and zero congestion. GM's committed to making EVs accessible for everybody. That means you too. So what are you waiting for? GM's got the keys. You grab the wheel. Learn more about an all-electric future and the 000 initiative at GM.com. GM, everybody in.
Hello, welcome to another episode of Pop Law. I am your host, Desiree.
And I'm Tyrone.
And we are
Not Your Attorneys. So I'm wiping these beads of sweat off my head because we are actually in summer now. You know, we've been talking about this weather for literal months at this point, and now summer's here and I don't know what to do.
I know, because again, yesterday it was 80 something degrees. Today it's 61. So cold. You never know what to wear. It might be a little bit of rain tomorrow, but still in the 80s. Like, come on, New York City, please get it together.
I know, I've just bought these plants down from Home Depot. I'm trying to get it all summery at the house. And then this cold little front gonna come this afternoon. And right. It's supposed to be all red and dreary. Like, I don't know how to treat my body, let alone the plants outside on the balcony.
Exactly. And if anybody is from New York, you know that New York summers are popping. And I'm using New York term, so my California people, please do not come at me.
Just throw a hella in there.
Hella, right. Hella popping.
Hella popping.
Hella popping. Or wait, just hella lit, turned up. I don't know, whatever. But anyways, New York summers are great. So this weekend, it was so many things to choose from.
There was a lot.
A lot of black excellence at the VC Polo Classic. I went to that. There was the Rook Picnic. That was in Philly, though.
Yeah.
But
it's the same
Governor's
name.
Ball, right?
Governor's Ball happened this weekend. Yeah. Literally so much was happening. There were a lot of concerts that were happening as well outside of just Governor's Ball. So we had our pick, and that's what I love about New York summers is that literally everything is happening, and a lot of stuff is free. We're about to get into the free outdoor movie screenings as well.
Oh, yes, I love
so
those.
So y'all should be hitting up at least one of those a week, and they are in every
borough.
And
the summer stage at Central Park and other parks around New York. So just make sure you have your calendars ready, pack for multiple
weather
things.
Just go
things,
through
layer.
And just be like, these are the movies I want to see, and make sure that you have a blanket pack with you when you go to work, and you have some water and some popcorn. Don't be paying for that popcorn.
My advice for ladies, always pack a pair of heels. So you need to have a big enough bag to have your heels in, because them sandals might not get you in every place. But you know what? Let's get into the cases.
So this is going to be a little bit out of like the norm for things that we've talked about before. I don't think we've ever talked about anything like this before. So this is a magician's case and live magic shows, but it illustrates a really good point that we want to talk about later on in the show. So let's just lay down the facts of the case. So magician Brett Daniels is suing his former partner and co-creator Simon Painter over their show The Illusionist, which I think it was turned into an actual show.
TV show.
So in 2010, Daniels got together with Simon Painter, a promoter of live events and former creative producer at International Special Attractions Limited.
The two began discussing the concept of a live ensemble magic show featuring the best magicians and illusionists in the world. Things went south once the cast went to do a show in Venezuela. The show never happened.
According to Daniels, he was experiencing a severe illness. The government seized stage equipment and kept all show assets under armed guard, and Painter purchased a flight home for the entire crew except for him. He allegedly did not receive his plane ticket until he threatened legal action. That's really weird. I don't get the connection there. Wow, he would not let him fly home, but sure, okay.
However, according to Painter, Daniels' behavior on tour included thrown water bottles, shouted profanities, sexual advances on crew members and others, and even a threat against Painter. So he was like, you know, you doing all this, you staying home, you go
but,
buy your own
but
ticket.
But leaving in Venezuela, you know that country's falling apart.
Exactly.
So the case went to arbitration, and both Daniels and Painter accused the other of breaching the contract. So it's like, no, you breached contract. Right. No, you breached the contract. No, I'll see you in court. That's basically what went down. So Painter went on to develop four other similar shows, such as The Illusionist 2.0, The Next Generation of Magic, and The Illusionist 1903, The Golden Age of Magic. So he wasn't short-winded there.
Right. Daniels argued that these shows were variations under his contract, and while he withdrew his copyright claims, he demanded a 10% cut for these shows as well, since his original contract called for him to receive 10% for each show.
Painter fired back by alleging that Daniels' new show, The Revolutionist, really just want to play on that illusionist word. The Revolutionist violated his own intellectual property rights. He also argued that Daniels had run afoul of a conduct and behavior clause in his performance agreement.
So the conduct and behavior clause stated that the artist shall at all times behave in a professional and ethical manner and adhere to the directions given to them in relation to the production, and shall do nothing which is likely to bring the artist, the management, the production, or fellow artists into disrepute or adversely affect the harmonious working equilibrium of the production or the company.
Well, in March of this year, the arbitrator of the dispute, Robert O'Brien, largely found in favors of Daniel. So if you're keeping track, Daniels is the one who was acting a fool, apparently. Mm-hmm. So he ruled that the creator agreement was a valid contract and that Daniels performed all requirements to entitle him to his 10% fee. He further concluded that the sequels to The Illusionist were covered by the agreement and that there was no requirement that Daniels contribute to those shows in order to collect. So huge blow to Painter over there.
So the conduct and behavior clause, or morals clause, we've talked about that before. O'Brien, the judge, ruled that Painter hadn't established that this provision in the performance agreement was incorporated into the creator agreement. And moreover, while Daniel's behavior may very well have been reprehensible and unprofessional, Painter had not sufficiently alleged a breach or that he had suffered damages.
O'Brien, the arbitrator, added that the Revolutionist didn't violate trademarks and trade dress infringement because of a lack of evidence establishing likelihood of confusion among consumers, which I would say that's
a stretch to
that's
me.
That's arguable.
Illusionist, like
it's and especially if they know he's associated with that brand. So I don't know if he paid this arbitrator out of his own pocket, but whatever, because Painter is filing a motion to vacate the arbitration award. So the case is now being reviewed by a judge because it does sound a little sketchy about that last point.
Absolutely. So stay tuned for the breakdown when we get into exactly what arbitration clauses are. So next up, we have an interesting case with the Pussycat Dolls. Do y'all remember the Pussycat Dolls?
Yeah, they were like there was a show and there was a group and it was. Yeah.
I only remember two members out the group.
I mean, I heard the internet. They told me this once. Don't think I said this, but Nicole Swept Ginger Ale is what they called her.
What?
That's not me, but and they're so mean to say that. But I think Swertzinger is her real last name.
Well, you know I would have butchered that up. I don't know that, but I do know the song "Loosen Up My Butt."
And that's all you know. Oh, you know how to appreciate me. Oh, I'm going to stick with you.
Stick with you. Yep, yep, yep.
That was
okay.
The
Bible. Those are the two songs that you know. Okay. So in October 2017, a woman named Kaya Jones tweeted that the truth behind the Pussycat Dolls will be revealed.
So apparently, Jones claimed that the Pussycat Dolls was really just, I'm going to take this slow, a prostitution ring with members of the girl group forced into sex with entertainment executives. She further claimed that she was drugged. I'm not laughing because it's not funny, but she was blacklisted, drugged, and walked away from a $134 million record deal.
I'm sorry, I just thought of Harvey Weinstein.
it just sounds so outlandish for no one else to have ever said anything about this. Like, the Pussycat drugs being a prostitution ring. Come on, sis. Like, this sounds straight off the, like, Page Six papers.
So, several news publications, I guess, believed her, including the Daily Mail.
Surprise, surprise to the Daily Mail.
Right, and they published this story and are now facing a defamation lawsuit. The Pussycat Dolls, Inc. and the band's manager, Robin Anton, claimed that the publication of this story was intentional, reckless, and malicious.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night, ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end,
what will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
False and defamatory statements made by a disgruntled, unreliable, and biased person looking for looking for her 15 minutes of fame. Kaya Jones, when the defendants knew through their direct prior dealings with the plaintiffs, or should have known, even with the most basic check, that Ms. Jones was unreliable and her story obviously was false.
That reminds me of, you know, I'm not a Phaedra fan, but that reminds me of her legendary Kenya read when she was like, in a cup so you can get a $10 pizza. They read her for Filth and Daily Mail, to
okay,
be quite
I'm
honest.
Gonna need you to get on the Phaedra board, though. You know that's my girl, but that's for another day.
So the plaintiffs further went on to claim instead, they weren't done there. They're like, right. we have a double read for you.
Exactly.
The plaintiffs further went on to claim instead for pure sensationalism and advertising money and to grab salacious headlines to sell their product and without caring for what it meant for the plaintiffs, their business, or their reputation. The defendants published and commented on these defamatory statements with a reckless disregard for the truth. I'm telling you,
yes,
that was a read in legal language.
Absolutely. The plaintiffs object to Jones' self-portrayal, they weren't done, as a core member or leader of the Pussycat Dolls. The complaint characterizes her as an unreliable source whose bias should have been evident due to her failure to be chosen to be a member of the group and reunion. Lord, they just kept on and kept on and
honestly,
kept on reading her.
This sounds like it should have been on Bravo.
Exactly.
As like someone's final reunion read.
This sounds like Anini, Phaedra, and Kenya and follow up with Andy Reid. Because they all shady.
So they're saying this lawsuit figures to cast a shadow on a practice becoming increasingly common, which is taking statements on social media at face value and fair game for reporting without enough skepticism, which, I mean, I don't see the lie there.
I don't see the lie
there. I don't see it. So overall, the main theory seems to be that the statements in the articles were defamatory per se because there was an assertion that Anton and the Pussycat Dolls, Inc. had condoned the sexual assault of its members and hooked its members on illegal drugs and abused them in untold ways and were thus involved in a serious criminal offense as well as immoral conduct.
See, we on a Housewives row, I was just reminded of Phaedra Candy, Portia.
Honestly, after I said that statement, basically, it reminded me of Portia. She was just like, that's a reach.
The plaintiffs are seeking an unspecified amount of compensatory and punitive damages. Anton says her reputation as a business person has suffered as a result of the story. So we'll keep you posted.
I mean, we will, but you already know how this
is going. Daily Mail, just go ahead and settle this.
Really, just y'all were in the wrong. Like,
but it's interesting, though, because it was three or four other publications that printed the same story, and they're only going after the parent company of the Daily Mail. So not sure why they chose them. Maybe they thought it would be easier, deeper pockets.
That's or maybe it's the way they like put the story together.
The story,
to make it look really, really bad. But like I said, if there's an update, we may remember to update you. But most likely, she's probably going to lose, and so will Daily Mail, and it'll be a nice, quiet settlement.
Exactly.
On to more pressing things, though. Evelyn Lozada. Basketball Wives is where we know Evelyn Lozada from. So she filed a defamation lawsuit against her former publicist. Is it Danica, right?
I said Danica.
Danica. I don't know.
When I looked at Danica's photo, I felt like it was Danica.
Danica.
No shade.
I think it depends like where you're from geographically. In the Midwest, we may say Danica. But Danica Berry, who she had a falling out with in 2016, so that was her former publicist.
Lozada claims that Berry spread lies about her and her ex-husband, retired Miami Dolphins star Chad Johnson, a.k.a. Ocho Cinco.
Ocho Cinco.
I forgot that they were married. That wedding was so quick. Lord. Lozada and Johnson divorced in 2012 after the NFL player was arrested for allegedly assaulting her.
Evelyn also claims that after having a fallout with Berry, the former publicist allegedly told a reporter that Lozada was having sex with an unnamed New Orleans music mogul. How many of those are there to be
Baby
quite
honest? Baby and Slam.
Literally. While she and Johnson were still married. She further claims that Berry told people that she was the aggressor in the dispute.
The claim was published on The Shade Room in February 2018, forcing Lozada to send a cease and desist letter to Berry. Lozada claims that after the incident, Berry defamed her to several people in the entertainment industry, including fellow Basketball Wives star Tammy Roman, so Roman could accuse her of domestic violence on national television, which would ultimately hurt her brand of being a spokesperson against domestic violence. I mean, Evelyn's still fighting on TV if y'all see the new season. She hasn't, physically touched anybody, but her personality and attitude is still nasty, so I don't know how bad it can get.
It's weird because I feel
Ayala
like,
didn't fix her life that much.
No, not at all. Not at all. I think what's weird about this is that you could probably see that maybe some of this is true, but some of it is, like, extra.
Yeah.
So Danica could be relevant. And like, you know, just in the mix of things, like hopefully if none of it's true, she gets what she's owed in this defamatory suit. But otherwise, it's like she may have to parse through the facts of her life, which she may not want to do. So it may just be settled. So this one we actually may update you on. So now for actual updates, though.
The Jay-Z Big Pimpin' case, you guys, is finally over. We talked about this on the previous episode, so feel free to go back. This case has been going on for over 10 years.
A decent portion of my life, to be quite honest.
So the federal appeals court finally drew a line against allowing foreigners, and this is the court, not me saying that, or non-U.S. citizens, right, to protect the integrity of their work through U.S. courts.
So this past Thursday, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals affirmed the win for Jay-Z and all of the other defendants, including Timbaland, by refusing to give a suing Egyptian the ability to enforce moral rights over a sample used for Big Pimpin'. And if you remember, the moral rights was if you didn't like how a song or a sample from a song was used, even after it was licensed, you could object to how it was used. Mm-hmm. So that, but we don't have that concept here in the United States. That's Egyptian law. The decision matters beyond music, as many foreign countries confer moral rights to creators of copyrighted works, ultimately, the court ruled in Jay-Z and Timbaland's favor for two reasons.
So like Tyrone said, first, the U.S. federal law does not accord protection for moral rights to American copyright holders. As to non-visual arts, moral rights in Egypt do not afford protection in the U.S. Second, even if the U.S. federal law recognized the moral rights of musical authors or merely enforced foreign copyright law, the specific right the defendant retains under Egyptian law entitles him only to injunctive relief in Egypt. In other words, the song would have to stop being played in Egypt, which it already is.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that he's entitled to a monetary award. So the court is saying, if you were only able to stop playing the song in Egypt, then that's what you're getting here. You can't come here and get money if you wouldn't be able to get that in Egypt.
It doesn't make sense. It really is like, you can't take, and that's what he was trying to say in all of these appeals, was like, you can't pick and choose parts of U.S. law and parts of Egyptian law. Either we're going to be all in Egyptian law or we're going to be all in U.S. law. And if we're all in U.S. law, you lost when you walked into the door with this argument.
You already won in Egypt. The song is not played. Exactly. There. So what more do you want?
He wants money.
But you're not going to get it from Jay.
Not today.
Another update. How many updates is this? This has to be like five or six, maybe.
This is a lot. It's not so great, though.
Kesha and Dr. Luke. So singer Kesha was handed a series of losses in her ongoing battle with Dr. Luke, the producer who allegedly raped her. Recently, the court upheld the decision not to allow Kesha to revive her counterclaims against Dr. Luke.
So if you remember, Kesha was attempting to have her agreements with the producer declared terminated. Her counterclaim seeking declaratory relief, terminating the agreements on the ground of impossibility and impracticability of performance, was speculative and contradicted by her own allegations that she had continued performing under the agreements. And as to at least one of the agreements, the impossibility was not produced by an unanticipated event that could not have been foreseen or guarded against. So they basically were like, listen, you're saying that one of your arguments is that you have been performing under the agreement, and that's fine, but it goes right up against the argument where you say, I can't perform under this agreement because I have to work with Dr. Luke. And they're like,
it's not impossible, girl, because you're doing it.
So it's like you're caught in a hard place here. So
yeah, like I understand not wanting to work with him, but
it seems like because they sort of haven't figured out the argument that matches what she really needs to get out of the suit.
Well, speaking of that, the second argument, or one of the other arguments that she tried to do, which I thought was kind of strange, was she wanted the New York court to apply California's 7-year rule limiting personal service contracts. But the appellate court also denied this claim because her contract had a choice of law provision of New York. So what that essentially means is the court is precluded from applying California law in New York because in the contract that you initially signed, you said we're going to go apply New York law.
And that's a big deal. Yes. I know in tons of agreements I've worked on, that choice of law is one of those things you sort of try to knock out at the beginning to be like, what can we actually work with?
Exactly.
Because the laws, and it's usually you're going to be New York or California for a lot of entertainment agreements. The laws are, they're the same a lot of the time, especially when it comes to contracts. Mm-hmm. But when you get to like some of the more salient points about how the contracts are interpreted.
California is like in its own other world.
It really is. Yeah. So that's an important thing that the judge thought to be like, hey, sis. You can't do this.
You
explicitly agree to California law. So
no, you explicitly agree to New York.
Yes, sorry. New York law.
So don't bring those Cali rules over here.
But Kesha must also produce documents held by her PR firm and her former attorney. And I think if you remember, there was like some weird thing they were saying. She was orchestrating not a bashing of him, but they were like tarnishing his image and stuff. So be reminded that Dr. Luke is suing Kesha, PR firm and former attorney, for defamation, claiming that the allegation of rape was false. So like they're saying there was a whole like machine out to ruin his reputation.
So we'll keep you posted. I don't know when this is going to be over, but you know, hopefully blessings soon to her, because I mean, if this did happen, I know it's like a hard process to keep reliving and reliving. And one of the things I found interesting in this ruling was Dr. Luke's side. They're saying, okay, well, she still needs to perform under these agreements. If it's, even if it's not with Dr. Luke per se,
yeah,
we want to enforce the agreement. So they're still trying to get that coin off of
and
her.
And it's
she can just work with our other producers.
Because I think what the thing about this case that I think is sort of important for the label side is that if she's able to get out, it'll set a precedent. And when we say precedent for our non-legal minds out there, that means that going forward, if they have another artist for some reason wants to get out of their contract, it will make it that much easier if they have any of the similar facts of a Kesha case, like with this Dr. Luke situation. And because normally contracts are pretty hard to get out of if you've thought about all the scenarios when you can end the contractual relationship, and this isn't one of them.
So Tyrone is telling you, make sure those termination clauses are straight.
Goes all about termination. This is The Breakdown. And today's topic, arbitration. Arbitration is a non-judicial process for the settlement of disputes where an independent third party, an arbitrator, makes a decision that is binding.
The role of an arbitrator is similar to that of a judge, though the procedures can be less formal, and an arbitrator is usually an expert in their own right.
For disputes to be referred to arbitration, either both parties will be in agreement for the matter to be referred to arbitration, or there will be an arbitration clause in a contract between the parties.
A decision is reached by an arbitrator either on a documents-only basis or following hearings that take place in an agreed venue.
The advantages of an arbitration include, one, the process can be tailored to suit parties' particular needs, two, arbitrators can be chosen for their expertise, or three, it is confidential.
Four, it can be speedier and cheaper than court, five, there are limited grounds of appeal, and six, arbitration awards are binding and enforceable through the courts.
And that was The Breakdown. So, we have to talk about this just for a brief second. I am no hip-hop head, but I caught a kiki or two when I heard these diss tracks come out this past week. And I want to say that I don't really think either one of them came out the winner.
Who's diss tracks?
The Pusha diss tracks, T? I mean, if you don't know who this is, then you've been living under a rock. But we're talking about Drake and Pusha T here.
Yeah.
Pusha T of the Clips fame, also just being a part of Good Music and having his own solo stuff under Kanye's label, and Drake is Drake, so.
Right. Well,
that's the issue, is Drake is Drake, so no matter what you say, Pusha T,
right,
even if it's the worst of the worst, Drake has built up a brand.
I just think, initially, Drake shouldn't have responded to this page.
He shouldn't. And like, it was weird. It almost was baiting.
Yeah,
to me,
what it was, because Pusha T has a new album. Like, nobody really cares.
It didn't seem like seemed like it came out of nowhere.
Well,
like out of nowhere.
Yeah.
No one can tell me. Like, I know the history of the beat has to do with Lil Wayne. Apparently, Wayne is getting involved at this point now. I understand that from like early 2000s, but the most recent event that kicked us into high gear literally was just Pusha T.
They've all taken Good Music. I'm not going to say Good Music all, but I'm going to say Pusha T and Kanye, because I don't know what Tiana doing yet. They are taking a page out of the Kardashian handbook. Bait and click. Let me do something for controversy to promote my product. Because look, you have Kanye doing all of this shit, talking about slavery as a choice, talking about Trump so people can get mad. He's staying in the headlines. He's doing all these interviews, doing all these tweets. And then he puts out a 7-track whack album. And then you got Pusha T put out this 7-track album. I haven't listened to it, so I won't call it whack. But just based off past songs, other than what, Grinding, right? Okay. And what, Click, that had everybody else. But can y'all name one Pusha T song with him independently that was a hit?
Leave us
comments.
What? What is very telling is that it seemed like Pusha T was ready to jump on anything that Drake responded to. Right. He was like, oh, you said something about my wife, and now it's, the gloves are off. Nothing's off limit. He literally said your wife's name.
Right.
That was almost the crux of the diss was him saying your wife's name. And then you're going to start saying all this other crazy. Stuff, yeah. It was like he was waiting to unload. And I was just like, Drake, take a step back. Enjoy your nice summer jams. See, put out nice for what?
He tried to follow Remy Ma's formula. It ain't going to do nothing because y'all still ain't going to sell no albums that have no hit singles.
I mean, what was one? Daytona wasn't even number one on the charts.
It ain't number 2, 3, 4, or 10. But you know what? Let us know y'all thoughts on this Pusha T Drake beef. You know, Drake, he's going to come out with his summer album. We all going to be rocking to it. Let me tell you, when I was at the Polo Classic, even after all this, they weren't playing our music in the beginning. As soon as the Polo match was over, the first song was Nice For What. Everybody hit that bop and A in unison. Like, you know, Pusha T didn't change nothing.
Yeah, so I mean, honestly, Drake's gonna be all right. His Adidas line is gonna come out.
It's gonna sell better than Yeezys.
He's going to debut a whole son.
Lord.
Like, Lord. Y'all know that baby says. This is not up for debate.
I'm in denial about it. But what I'm not in denial about is how the Warriors is about to beat the Cavs once again. We go win this series. We go be champions. We got them in the first game. People
what
can
was
say
JR
so.
Doing? Do we still know?
Thanks, JR.
Do we know Jamar? What was he doing?
We have a live studio guest today with us, so the game is currently on game two.
He was acting a... Anyway, you know we're what? Off the... It's summertime.
Yes.
But you know what you should do? You should go like and comment on some of our recent posts, and especially review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts,
and
is what they call
again,
it.
Again, congrats to all of our winners for the Pop Law Podcast 1 year anniversary.
So. Giveaway, yes. We gave away some nice gifts. If you didn't get one of those, it's because you didn't want it. Because they were there for the taking. What did we give out? Let's tell them what people we gave
Amazon,
out.
Amazon, Echo.
We gave out
Amazon gift card.
A Sephora gift card. Listen.
Get your Fenty right for the summer.
Y'all need to beat those faces this summer with the light. You got to get a new palette. You got to get new brushes.
Exactly.
And we were trying to help you out.
Stay
and
tuned.
Y'all just didn't want it.
It might be some more summer giveaways. We don't know. But anywho, we are not
your attorneys.
Everybody loves McDonald's fries. So yes, you accused your mom of stealing some of your fries on the way home. But the bag did feel a little light. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.